I'll ask Mrs. Sylvia Steele to read the Bible before Bishop Tasker opens God's word to us.
This afternoon's reading comes from Acts chapter 13, verses 38 to 52. And I'll follow this with a short prayer before Bishop Tasker speaks. Let it be known to you, therefore, brothers, that through this man, forgiveness of sins is proclaimed to you, and by him, everyone who believes is freed from everything from which you could not be freed by the law of Moses. Beware, therefore, lest what is said in the prophets should come about. Look, you scoffers, be astounded and perish, for I am doing a work in your days, a work that you will not believe, even if one tells it to you. As they went out, the people begged that these things might be told them the next Sabbath. And after the meeting of the synagogue broke up, many Jews and devout converts to Judaism followed Paul and Barnabas, who, as they spoke with them, urged them to continue in the grace of God. The next Sabbath, almost the whole city gathered to hear the word of the Lord. But when the Jews saw the crowds, they were filled with jealousy and began to contradict what was spoken by Paul, reviling him. And Paul and Barnabas spoke out boldly, saying, "It was necessary that the word of God be spoken first to you, since you thrust it aside and judge yourselves unworthy of eternal life. Behold, we are turning to the Gentiles. For so the Lord has commanded us, saying, 'I have made you a light for the Gentiles, that you may bring salvation to the ends of the earth.' And when the Gentiles heard this, they began rejoicing and glorifying the word of the Lord. And as many as were appointed to eternal life believed. And the word of the Lord was spreading throughout the whole region. But the Jews incited the devout women of high standing and the leading men of the city, stirred up persecution against Paul and Barnabas, and drove them out of their district. But they shook off the dust from their feet against them and went to Iconium. And the disciples were filled with joy and with the Holy Spirit. Heavenly Father, thank you for making yourself known to us, showing us the way to salvation through faith in your Son. We ask you now to teach us through your word so we may be ready to serve you for the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen.
You may remember that yesterday we looked briefly at the end of chapter 9 of Acts, where it told us that the church was throughout Judea and Galilee and Samaria. And then we saw what happened with Peter and Cornelius, and how Peter, a Jew, shares Christ with the Gentile God-fearer. And he wondered and is perplexed about what is happening. But when the Holy Spirit comes on Cornelius and the family as they respond to the gospel, it gives him the assurance the Lord is in this. And as the Spirit had came on the disciples at Pentecost, so it is the same as they reach out to the Gentiles. In chapter 11, Peter gets back to Jerusalem and word gets back there before he does. The gossip network, worked just as well then as what it does today, even with Twitter and all the rest of it. But it still worked well. He gets back and immediately he's accused. Those come before him accuse him of going into a Gentile home and of eating with them, strictly prohibited for the Jew. But Peter tells the story of what happened. And he closes, having spoken about what happened with Cornelius, he said, "And I remembered the word of the Lord, how he said, 'John baptized with water, but you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit.' If then God gave the same gift to them as he gave to us when we believed in the Lord Jesus Christ, who was I that I could stand in God's way?" It's interesting, at the end of that we're told no one said anything. They didn't really have anything to say at that particular stage. And so they concluded together, "Then the Gentiles also, God has granted repentance that leads to life." Can you imagine what this really meant to the early church? Amazing stuff, do you know? This was just from left field, you know? The word God's people is for the Jew. There may be some odds and ends of others that may come in as proselytes and things like that. Oh, yes, but it is to us. And here God is reaching out and pouring out his Spirit in the same way as at Pentecost. We then read about the Holy Spirit sends many of them out of Jerusalem, and the way he does that is through persecution. They get scattered, many run, and some of them go to Antioch, and there are many Jews and many Gentiles who believe, and the church is formed. We read of James, the brother of John, is killed by Herod. We read of Peter put into prison and then escapes through the angels coming in and releasing him. We read of Herod dying in a terrible way. And then we come to Acts 13, the next major push that we see in Acts in the work of the Holy Spirit. We read that the church in Antioch, that while they were worshipping the Lord and fasting, the Holy Spirit said, "Set apart Barnabas and Saul for the work to which I have called them." Now, we've come to know this as you're studying Acts as the first missionary journey. But it's amazing as you work through Acts, you see consistently the Holy Spirit is pushing the church, that eventually they reach out and we begin to fulfill God's plan and purpose for the gospel to go to the ends of the earth. The Holy Spirit uses many different means and many different ways as we work through Acts. Paul and Barnabas on this first journey eventually get to Antioch in Pisidia. As is their model, they look to see if there's a synagogue, and yes, there is, quite a big synagogue, and it's filled with Jews and many God-fearers, many Gentiles. They come and attend on the Sabbath, and they're encouraged to stand up, and if they've got a word of encouragement, to give it. And so Paul does. Speaking to these Jews and God-fearers, he begins where they are. He says, "Men of Israel, you and you who fear God," he talks about Egypt, going into Egypt, God looking after them in Egypt, bringing them out, saved out of Egypt, 40 years in the wilderness. God gives them their land, the judges, Samuel, the kings, and David. And he quotes where the Lord says, that speaks of David as a man after his own heart who will do his will. And he speaks about of this man's offspring, that is that of this man's offspring, God has brought to Israel a Saviour Jesus as he promised. He then speaks concerning Jesus. He says, "Those who live in Jerusalem and their rulers, they didn't recognise the Lord of glory, the Saviour of the world, the Messiah. Neither did they understand all that the prophets had said. The words of the prophetic scriptures that they read Sabbath by Sabbath in the synagogue, they knew the words but never grasped what it is that God was actually saying to them. And they condemned Jesus, rejected him, and found in him no guilt, and yet had him executed. But God," he says, "but God raised Jesus from the dead, and we are many witnesses to this fact. And we bring you," he says, "the good news that what God promised to the fathers, he has fulfilled to us, their children, by raising Jesus. Let it be known to you, therefore, brothers, that through this man forgiveness of sin is proclaimed to you, and by him everyone who believes is freed from everything from which you could not be freed by the law of Moses." And then he finishes the sermon by saying, "Beware, therefore." And he quotes from the prophecy of Habakkuk. He says, "Look, you scoffers, be astonished and perish, for I am doing a work in your days, a work that you would not believe, even if one tells it to you." In Habakkuk, it was the time of disaster, the time of chaos, the time of violence. But God speaks through his prophet, "I have a plan, I have a purpose, and I am going to fulfill this purpose. I am going to fulfill it." And so what Paul is basically saying is that God is going to fulfill his promise, and that promise is in the Saviour to draw a people to himself from every nation, tribe, people, and tongue. And as in Habakkuk's day, is basically saying, you've got God's word. The word is given to you clearly. If you refuse to grab it, to recognize it and believe it and therefore be used by God in his plan and purpose, then God will place you to one side and will raise up a people who will hear, who will respond and will obey. Well, that was a good Billy Graham sermon, was it not? As you read through there, I think that's where Billy got some of his sermons from. Hear of Paul, especially in Antioch in Pisidia. A strong word with a very clear message. We read that many, many were really moved as Paul opened God's word to them and expounded the scriptures. And many of them came and spoke afterwards and said, we want to know more. Can we meet during the week? And so we hear that many of them met with Paul and Barnabas and discussed these matters. Then on the next Sabbath, word had really got around and massive crowds came to hear the word of the Lord. But we read that many of the Jews were filled with jealousy and contradicted what Paul was saying. There is a great lesson here, isn't there, of where these very people in this synagogue had been reading the Old Testament scriptures of the promise of the Saviour, praying that the Christ would come, prayed that they would know forgiveness of sin, they would have eternal, all those promises that God gave, that God would fulfil those promises. And when it occurred amongst them, they failed to see it and actually became the opposition. It's amazing what we can get up to with sinful hearts as men and women, is it not? It's amazing. But Paul says, it was necessary that the word be preached to you first. That's why I've come to the synagogue. It's to you first. But since you've rejected it, so now we turn to the Gentiles. We turn to the rest of the world, just as the Lord has commanded us to do. And look, he quotes from Isaiah 49, I have made you a light for the Gentiles, that you might bring salvation to the ends of the earth. Their rejection was not going to stop God's plan and purpose in reaching out to the Gentiles. And the servant song, as we know in the books of Isaiah, the servant songs, yes, they speak of Israel, promises of Israel, maybe even through the disciples, but really they ultimately speak of Jesus. They ultimately speak of Jesus. And I have made you a light to the world. Jesus said, I am the light of the world. And when the baby Jesus is brought to the temple, Simeon says, a light for revelation to the Gentiles. God has set Jesus as light, and it cannot be extinguished. This is a great promise and a great encouragement. And that in this one, he will bring salvation to the ends of the earth. The concept here of salvation is not a concept, there's a possibility of being saved. The concept here is that Jesus will save and he has the power to save. He will save and he has the power to save. I will build my church, he said. Yes, the devil's going to work hard. He said the devil's going to work hard to pull us away from himself, to pull us down, to divert us into lots of other activities, anything but proclaiming Christ as Lord and Saviour. And the wonderful words is, as many as were appointed to eternal life believed. And the word of the Lord was spreading, it was carried, it was circulated through the whole of that region. But we soon read that persecution immediately stirred up and they had to move on to the next city. But the disciples were filled with joy and the Holy Spirit. Brethren, God's plan and purpose to draw a people to himself from every nation, tribe, people and tongue cannot be thwarted. Under God, we who claim to be his children can either in obedience have the joy and privilege of being part of that fulfillment of that plan and purpose through the work of the Spirit, or be dead wood to be cast aside. We've read so far in Acts that the church, Jerusalem, then we read Acts 9, Judea, Galilee, Samaria, the Gentiles in Cornelius, and now it's moved out here into Asia Minor, the push of the Holy Spirit. If those who claim to be the people of God fail or refuse to acknowledge what God is doing through our Lord Jesus Christ, and as I said, the main work of the devil, Jesus said, will to be draw you away from me. That will be his main work. But God will put them to one side and he will raise up a people who will respond, who will obey. There are words of great encouragement. God has made our Lord Jesus Christ light and salvation. We're not involved as witnesses, as testifiers, struggling to try to twist people's arms. We go because we're called to go and sent by the Holy Spirit himself. We're called to go and to bear witness in the power and strength of the Holy Spirit. And it's God's word alone that we go to share. And the result, there was obedience. There was witnessing. Many turned to Christ. But there was also persecution and being thrown out of the city. But as a result of being so involved in God's plan and purpose with all that they went through in that city, how did they leave the city? And the disciples were filled with joy and with the Holy Spirit. There is no greater task on the face of this earth to be involved in.